You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Welcome to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan. And you're listening live on heritageradionetwork.com, but you can listen anytime, archive to any of our shows on heritageradionetwork.com also, but at any time. And podcasts are coming soon. So, welcome to the show. This week's show is called Anchovies, Mackerel, and Sardines, Oh My, with a shout out to herring. So the past few weeks' shows have been all about vegetables, because it's summer. And last week's show was about the vegetables that you think you might hate, but really don't. Or really shouldn't, because they're so good that they really deserve your love and your attention. And I'm wondering if anybody went out during the week and bought or cooked or ordered any of them because they were so inspired by my encouraging words. Did you go to your farmer's market and buy some okra? Or did you roast up some beets? I'd like to know that I'm getting through to you, listeners. So if you did have a vegetable breakthrough that you would like to share with the group, let us all know. I think I can speak for the entire Heritage Radio family that we'd all love to hear from you about it. We'd like to know that we're making a difference. So you can always call in and tell me what happened. Tell us if you tried a new vegetable or just call in with questions or comments. So like Fraser Crane used to say, I'm listening. So the number is 718-497-2128 if you want to give us a call. And so since I came back from Asia in July, I was in Vietnam for a month, I've been dedicating a lot of time to shows that are about the garden and vegetables. Since I feel somewhat like a culinary missionary, obligated by a higher calling to make sure you all learn to love things like the lima bean. And it's late summer, and the air is starting to get cooler, and the days are getting shorter, and as Johnny Cash sang, time's a-wastin'. The summer is rapidly coming to a close, so I feel like it's really my mission to get everybody out there eating vegetables. But that said, after a particularly exceptional grilled mackerel dinner this weekend and an article about bluefish in the New York Times Magazine a few weeks ago, I thought maybe this week we'd pay a visit instead to some of my best friends in the ocean, the oily, silvery, misunderstood family of fish that includes not just mackerel, but also the humble yet powerfully flavorful anchovy. And of course, a shout out to their herring cousins and a nod to the sardine, too. So this week we're swimming with the fishes, but we're sticking with the oily crowd. I had wanted to also talk about bluefish, the much maligned and misunderstood bluefish, especially because Sam Sifton wrote this great article about it in the Times a couple of weeks ago. I grew up eating bluefish all summer. We used to fish for it out on Long Island, and I really feel like we ate it every night of my childhood, although that's probably not quite true. We did definitely eat it frozen all winter. And I thought, oh, great, Sam Sifton's writing about it, and bluefish is hot again, and everybody should eat it because it's great fish, and there's lots of it, and it's really good for you. But it turns out that the Environmental Defense Fund has it at the top of their list for fish to avoid because of mercury and PCB contamination. So because of that, I've decided to skip it. So as far as bluefish goes, eat it at your own risk. It's your decision. I'm going to skip it. And also, unfortunately, even though we're talking about oily fish, we really have to take tuna off the table also. Tuna is the king of the oily fish. But I won't eat it anymore. I won't cook it. I won't serve it. It's way, way, way too overfished. And the stocks of tuna are teetering on the brink of collapse. It's also almost number one up there with the mercury also. So unfortunately, we have to leave the tuna alone. What we really need to do is give it a nice long break, like 30 or 40 years break, to let them reproduce and let their species recover. Because as your mom said, there are not plenty of fish in the sea, and at least not tuna. However, the good news is that in the oily fish category, we have lots of other options like mackerel and sardines and herring and anchovies, and we love all of those. So that's what we'll be talking about. And if you're not so sure what other fish are in that mercury-laden list, you can go online to seafoodwatch.org, which is from the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and they have a list. And the top ones, other than the bluefish and the tuna, are shark and swordfish and tilefish. They're all really, really high in mackerel. I mean, in mercury. But king mackerel is also up there, and that's a species of mackerel you want to avoid. You can also order little wallet size guides from them to take with you when you go out to eat, which are great, or when you're in a restaurant. They also actually have these cool little cards that you can leave on the table in the restaurant if the restaurant has a fish on the menu that they shouldn't be serving. So you can have these friendly little, what are you doing this for, cards, so you can remind the owner of the restaurant that they really shouldn't be serving that Chilean sea bass. Okay, so on to the good news, of course, is that anchovies and mackerel and sardines and herring, all those nice little silver-skinned, oily fish, there's plenty of those around. And they're small. They reproduce really fast, so they're plentiful. And they're in season right now. It's the mackerel season in the Northeast, and they've all been going on this feeding frenzy now late into the summer, so they're nice and fat and rich, lots of oil. These fish are the ones that are really high in the omega-3s, which are those oils that we keep hearing about that we should be eating so much of because they're so good for our hearts and our brains and everything. And because they're small, the concentrations of mercury and other toxins that accumulate in the oily fish that are bigger are a lot lower. The levels are a lot lower in these guys. They just haven't lived long enough to actually become so contaminated. The sardine almost suffered the same fate that the tuna is suffering now because it was almost fished to the brink of collapse on the California coast during the first half of the 20th century. That's what Steinbeck was writing about when he wrote Cannery Row in Monterey, the sardine canneries out there. And that fishery collapsed. But because they stopped fishing them, they've recovered. So there's lots of sardines now in the ocean. Although most of what we eat come from Africa and Southern Europe, they're not really catching the Monterey sardines that much because there just aren't that many yet, but they are coming back. But the one I really want to talk about first tonight is the mackerel because it is my favorite fish out there. It's a misunderstood, maligned fish, but you should learn to love it. So we're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're talking about mackerel. We'll be right back on Why We Cook.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. You can listen to Why We Cook live every Tuesday night at 6:30 or archived anytime. I'm Erica Wides, the host of the show. I'm a chef at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan. Okay, so tonight we're talking about oily fish. The little silvery, slick, fast swimmers that reproduce very quickly are full of omega-3s and are really good for us. And the one that I love the most is mackerel. And mackerel, to me, it's sort of a, it's like a funny sounding fish. It's a fish that's like a punchline in a joke or a prop from a vaudeville routine. They're treated very poorly. I don't think they really get the respect that they deserve. They're like the Rodney Dangerfield of fish. They're eaten extensively in Asia and in the Mediterranean. People love them. But they have somewhat of a bad rap here because they're considered too oily, too strong, too fishy. I hate when people say a fish is fishy. It's fish. It should taste fishy. It shouldn't taste like chicken breast. It should taste like fish. So it makes me crazy. But when I was in Vietnam this summer, we would eat this mackerel hot pot soup that we would cook on the tabletop to order. And it was so good. It was so simple and just chopped up chunks of mackerel with the bones and the head and everything in a broth. And it was great. And they also braise it in Vietnam with fish sauce and caramelized sugar. And it's so good because the sugar and the fish sauce just really like stand right up there to that oily flavor of the fish. But a lot of Americans, they're kind of afraid of that. And they want their fish to be really mild. They want it to taste like chicken of the sea. They want it to be as mild as possible. And that's so sad. They want it bland and white and lean and really dull fish. And there's nothing duller to me than something like a big white brick of halibut cut from a fish that's taken 10 years to mature. It's just this white chunk of dullness as far as I'm concerned. Give me a sardine, give me an anchovy, give me some bluefish. I'll eat the mercury. I'll take it. Give me a grilled fillet of mackerel, anything, but something just white and bland. And mackerel is also one of those fish, too, that I think people often associate with poverty and hard times. You know, they think of it as almost like a fish that poor people eat, that it's sort of a trash fish. And it's something that you aspire to rise above, that, you know, oh, well, when we really make it in the world, we'll move up to the lofty world of the lean white fish. We'll eat fillet of sole instead. Or we'll eat snapper. We don't have to eat mackerel anymore. But you know what, people? It's time to reevaluate those foods of the poor, so-called foods of the poor, and start eating a little lower on the hog. We need to get down lower on the hog. And, you know, times are kind of tough and the party is over. So let's bring on the small fish and the oily fish. So when we talk about mackerel, what we're talking about specifically are Atlantic mackerel, not Spanish mackerel and not king mackerel. Both of those are really high in mercury, unfortunately, and should really be avoided. And you'll know Atlantic mackerel versus Spanish mackerel because the Atlantic are about a foot long and they're striped, whereas the Spanish mackerel are spotted. And the king mackerel are really big. They're like 3 feet long and they're from the Caribbean. Sometimes they're called kingfish. And you want to make sure you're only getting the Atlantic mackerel because the others, you really just want to avoid that. And they're all oily fish, and oily fish spoil really quickly. So freshness is super important when you're buying oily fish. That's why traditionally they were smoked, because if you smoked them right away, it would help to preserve them. It would also mask some of the oily flavor, but it would get the decomposition process slowing down enough so that they could be stored by smoking the fish, salting them, vinegaring them. All of those techniques were techniques that people used for preserving food, keeping it from spoiling before refrigeration. But you want to make sure when you buy it, it's really fresh and it's on ice and it smells good. Fish should always smell like high tide, not low tide. That's how you know it's fresh. Go for the briny, fresh ocean smell, not the Coney Island on a hot July afternoon smell. If you live in New York, you'll know what I mean. And by the way, smoked mackerel seriously rocks. So if you find any, you should buy it. And another great thing about these fish is that the methods used for fishing them is a lot less destructive than methods used for some other types of fish. A lot of commercial fishing boats have gear that can cause really significant habitat destruction. And they wind up with a lot of what they call bycatch, which is unwanted fish and marine mammals, things like dolphins, that they're not trying to catch, but they wind up catching, and they don't throw it back. They just kind of let it all die. So there's a lot of bycatch. So the good thing about pelagic fish or midwater fish is that they are caught in a much more sustainable and safe way. So they have a relatively low rate of bycatch compared to other types of fish that are harvested. And because it's pelagic, which means it's like mid-ocean, it's not at the top and not at the bottom, they don't have to drag the seafloor with trawls, which is also really destructive, destroys habitat, and it also destroys animals. So if you're a sushi lover or sushi eater, you probably are a big mackerel fan. And I love it when I go to eat sushi. That's the first thing I order. But there's a couple things you might want to know about mackerel. first, of course, find out whether it's Atlantic or Spanish. Unless you enjoy experiencing your level of intellect drop dramatically year by year, faster than it normally would with aging, you want to ingest as little mercury as possible, because that's what it does. It causes brain damage. So stick with the Atlantic. And the second thing is that all the mackerel you eat at sushi bars has been previously cured with salt and vinegar. It's not raw. It's cured. And that's good. You want that. Originally, sushi was all cured. Sushi was never a raw fish item. It was a salted and vinegared and cured fish item because people couldn't eat raw fish hundreds of years ago without refrigeration. It wouldn't stay fresh long enough. But the salting and vinegaring of the mackerel is really important because mackerel contain a very nasty parasite called Anisakis. And Anisakis is not something you want to get inside of you. It burrows into your stomach lining and it lives there. And the only way to get rid of it is surgery. You don't want to eat Anisakis. So it'll die if you cook the fish. Cooking kills it. But if you are eating sushi mackerel, you want to make sure it's been cured with salt and with vinegar. And it will be. No sushi chef would ever serve it raw. Now, cooked mackerel tastes really, really good, and there's almost no point in not cooking it, except that raw or semi-raw mackerel's even better. So you want to eat both of it. And when you want sushi, you want sushi. That's just how it is. So sushi chef, salt, and vinegar, the mackerels kill the parasite, and it usually works, but not always. In Japan, they have about 2,000 cases of Anisakis a year because not all those parasites die from the salt and vinegar. About 20% of them can live. So obviously, some are getting through, and I don't want to scare you off. I'm still going to go eat my mackerel sushi, but you know, you need to know. I'm just doing my job. It's what I do. I'm here to inform you, so you should know. And anyway, on the bright side, salting and vinegaring oily fish actually makes them taste even better. It helps to unwind some of the protein strands and make them more flavorful. And the salt helps to eliminate a little bit of the water, which helps to intensify the flavor. It creates a lot more umami. If you don't know what umami is that fifth taste after salty, sweet, sour, and bitter that we as humans can perceive. It's like a meaty, rich, savory flavor. And fish like mackerel and anchovies and sardines are off the umami charts. They are way up there. That's also why something like an anchovy is the primary ingredient in food ingredients like fish sauce and Worcestershire sauce. They're made from anchovies because they all have so much umami. It's that kind of savory, meaty, mouth-filling kind of quality that those have. Parmesan cheese has it. Cooked tomatoes, really well-seared beef, shiitake mushrooms, they're all super high in umami. And oily fish like mackerel, bluefish, all those also respond really well to intense heat, to really fast, intense grilling. I like to just take fillets, oil them with olive oil, a little salt, put them in a grill basket, and put them on the grill skin side down and leave them skin side down and cook them the whole way like that. So the skin will get a little bit charred and really, really, really crisp, and the heat will gradually seep up through the fillet and cook it gently. It's like the skin acts as insulation, slows down the cooking of the flesh, and then the skin gets really crisp. Then I just take it off. I throw in some herbs, a little lemon, a little salt, ready to go. So good. You have to eat the skin on fish. You can't take away the skin. The skin is the best part. Why would you ever throw it away? Fish skin is like fish bacon. That's what you want. It's oily and crispy and great. It's the bacon of fish. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about anchovies and sardines and give a little shout out to herring. You're listening to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Welcome back to Why We Cook. on Heritage Radio Network. If you like this show, you can find us on Facebook at Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook, and become a fan. Send me an email. I got my first fan email today. I was very excited about that, so thank you to my fan out there. So we've been talking about oily fish, mackerel, sardines, anchovies, a little talk about bluefish and mercury. And now let's really focus on the anchovy, and then we'll get to sardines. So why do people say that they hate them? Why do people think they hate anchovies? Is it the little hairy bones or the really salty tang? Is it like Brussels sprouts or beets where you just have always thought you hated them, but maybe you haven't given them a chance since you were 8 or 9 years old? Or do you really hate them? I'm not sure. So I was talking before the show to Nat, the producer, who said that the reason his generation hates anchovies is because they grew up watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who were very, very anti-anchovy. And he said that that poisoned them for an entire generation. Just can't eat anchovies. But I've met people across the generational spectrum who don't like them, so I'm not so sure about that. Maybe for the 20 to 30-year-old range, that's the case. But people just don't like them, and that's such a tragedy because they're so good. They are number one umami food, and they're the umamiest. And if you want flavor, that's where you're going to get it from, an anchovy. And in Spain, they go crazy for anchovies. They show up in tapas and all kinds of creative ways, and grilled and raw and salted and cured. And they're so good. And the Turks love them. In Turkey, they write love poems to anchovies. And the French and the Italians and all the Mediterranean players love the anchovy in their food. But here, not so much. They're relegated to the land of pizza, and they're seen as like a joke. There's always that knee-jerk reaction, no anchovies. But really good quality anchovies packed in sea salt or packed in oil and just eaten with onions and tomatoes and some bread are just a transcendent food experience. It's like you've taken a little trip to Spain, and you're right here in Brooklyn. And if you dissolve them into hot olive oil, right before you're going to saute some spinach or broccoli rabe or something, you add this layer of depth and this complex saltiness and meatiness to the vegetable that you can't get any other way. I mean, it's like you're putting in just solid chunks of flavor right into there. And they dissolve, so nobody knows that they're in there. And if you can get them fresh, just a quick grill or a quick roasting is all they're going to need. And along with the sardine, they're super high in omega-3. They're really good for you, so you should be eating more of them. The future of fish as a food source is in small fish. You can just forget about the big fish. It's over for the big fish. The future is in the small fish. And I mentioned Cannery Row before in the last segment, which used to be the heart of the Pacific sardine fishery in the last century. The California sardine industry used to be really big on the whole West Coast all the way up to Vancouver. And Pacific sardines used to be one of the largest and most profitable fisheries in the U.S., but by the late 40s, they were virtually gone. And it was always thought that overfishing played a huge part of this, and it did, of course. But it also turns out that there's a natural boom and bust cycle for anchovies and sardines, which occurs in the Pacific sardine population every 30 to 40 years. When a change in water temperature and oceanic conditions actually favors either sardines or anchovies, so they go in cycles. So that's kind of interesting. But sardines have made a comeback, which is great for people who love them, like me. And Nat mentioned that even though he was poisoned by the mutant turtles, he still likes them. He grew beyond that. They're also really important as a species for other marine birds and marine animals. They make their way up the food chain. So everybody relies on them. So it's a good thing that they're coming back. I think that probably in a past life, I was a Pacific sea otter because those guys can swim on their back, holding their food on their belly and eat while they're doing that. And I think that I was one of them once, because what would be better than being able to swim and eat at the same time with your head out of the water? Okay, so we were talking about the sardine also in the Pacific. And, you know, like mackerel, they spoil really easily too when they're fresh. And most of us have probably only ever eaten them canned. But if you can find them fresh, buy them, as long as they're really, really fresh. Same thing. They deteriorate really quickly. Cook them really fast and really hot. That's the key with any oily fish. Just in and out, fast and hot. Sear them in a hot cast iron pan. Grill them. Or you can make a really nice acidic marinade and boil it and just pour it over them and let them sit. And you do like a quick pickling with them. And if you can't find them fresh, eat them canned. Canned sardines are great too. You just buy the good ones. There are a lot of different range, the big range of quality. And you want to buy the best ones you can find. And buy them with the bones in. Don't be the boneless, skinless type of person. Boneless, skinless people are boring. Boneless, skinless people are people who like chicken breasts. Don't be one of them. Buy them with the bones. Eat the bones. That way you get a dose of calcium, too. You can chew those bones right up. It makes you feel kind of tough and like you got your way to the top of the food chain for a reason. Because you can conquer the small fish, bones and all. And anchovies and sardines, because they're so small, have virtually no mercury in them. So you'll also remain at the intellectual level that you went into the game with. You won't get dumber. Okay, now, before we run out of time, we only have a couple minutes left, we have to talk a little bit about herring, which are basically larger sardines. Within this whole world of herring and sardines and anchovies, there are actually hundreds of varieties, and they are different species, but they're all very similar. There's lots of different types of herring. They also have different names all over the world, which can get confusing. But there is concern about herring stocks becoming overfished. So can I 100% endorse herring eating? Well, I don't know. I love herring. I love it pickled and I love it smoked. And I'm not sure which ones are overfished and which ones aren't. You go home, you do the research. You have to do something. I can't do it all for you. So you decide what you want to do about herring. Years ago, I was traveling in Scotland and I went to the Aberdeen Fish Festival and I ate herring in oatmeal. But not like mushy, soupy oatmeal. It was herring that had been rolled in dry oats and then fried. And that was really good. Oatmeal makes a great crust. So just a little note before we end the show tonight that next time you're at your fish market and you're looking for something to buy for dinner, just pass right by those huge, red, seductive chunks of tuna. Think about the fact that they're aren't that many of them left in the world and that they're not really very good for you anymore. Walk right by those swordfish steaks. Walk right past the king mackerel. Don't even stop at any shark. Walk by them with herring in your heart. Think about those poor herring. And maybe pick up one of the cousins, the Atlantic mackerel or some little anchovies. And go home and feed yourself some good, healthy omega-3s, some sustainable fish. Think about those poor poisoned bluefish and what they've been suffering, and have yourself a great dinner. This is Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. You can listen to us Tuesday nights at 6:30 live or online anytime. I'm Erica Wides. Have a great night.